For God so loved the world, all of us, you and me. He loved us so much, he sent his only son, Jesus, the firstborn of creation, sent to take our place, to bear our burden, to suffer our consequence. We were far from God, but God didn't want to be far from us. Jesus came to bring us home. As a prodigal returns to their father, so too could we return to our Creator. A simple plan with just one requirement: belief. For whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have life. Life eternal. At the very heart of God is love. Indescribable, unrelenting, unstoppable love. That love shines a light, guiding us home. For God so loved the world.
Now, with that said, I'm gonna welcome you all to this ministry today and let you know you are welcome, welcome, welcome in this space that we call worship. Now, right now we're trying to keep our intro and the things that we do before our message as simple and as down to earth as possible. So with that said, I open up the door for anyone who has a praise report today or something that has happened in your life and you want to share it with the group. Right now is the time to share so that we may shout right along with you. Amen. Are there any praise reports? Okay. We don't have one at this time, so I also know that God has been working in all of our lives, so we know that you just didn't want to bring it forward, or maybe another time. Be blessed on that. All right. Now, with that said, I can't think of any other announcements that we need to make at this time. So we're gonna get right into our message. And what a dynamite message that is. So today, we will keep moving forward in our quest to learn more about Revelations. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you for all things that you created in heaven and in the earth. We thank you for your anointing that has been spread abroad, and we thank you that your will is in place and taking care of your children. We thank you for dear Jesus, that he brought us another way of worship, that he gave his life for it. And Father, we thank you for all of his efforts and all the things that he did while he was here on the earth. And thank you for what he left, a great example, the New Testament. Thank you, for he is worthy. Lord, we also thank you for the Holy Spirit of promise. And we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, that your revealed knowledge and your truth will come forth and touch our hearts, Father. Move our spirits and bodies into the right place, the place that we call worship, being under your umbrella. As the speaker today, I ask for the Holy Spirit to be invited into all of our lives, And Father, the word, let it flow freely. Use me. Use everything that I have for the benefit and the glory of the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray today. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, I want to tell you that last week we had Brother Steve to come and he brought us a dynamite message. And this week we're going to continue on. He did Revelations chapter 14. And this week we're going to Revelations chapter 15. Wow, we're getting down the road. I can tell you that. Revelations chapter 15 is about the seven vials. I say it again, the seven vials. That's what Revelations chapter 15 is about. As we get started, if you need to take notes, get your pencil and paper ready. And if there's anything else that you need to know, move around or get in place or get out of place, do it now as the message begins, because this is important. This message and this information that we are disclosing to you is important, because these are things to come. And some of them are already developing now. The system is being developed right now. So the book of Revelations is the final book of the Bible, and it focuses on the ultimate end of all things, finished works of all things in their order, including the final victory of God over sin, evil, and death. Revelation 15 describes the seven vials, also known as the seven bowls of God's wrath. And last and most intense, the judgments that will be poured out on the earth before the establishment of God's eternal kingdom. Now, we already talked about the seven seals judgment. We talked about the seven trumpet judgments. Seven is God's number, the number of completion. The seven churches. Remember he talked about Asia Minor? Well, that wasn't all the churches, but that was the completion, the seven. The seven spirits, the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, the seven lamps, the seven seals, the seven horses, the seven eyes, the seven angels, the seven trumpets, the seven crowns, the seven last plagues, and the seven golden vials, and last, the seven kings or kingdoms. So you see, seven is all over the Bible. And it's not for naught. That is God's number for completion. So you know when you hear the name 666, that it's not God. And it's not God's completion. And it shows incomplete. That's what it means. Now, in 15 and 16th chapter of Revelations, it gives us a further description of the wrath of judgments of the all-powerful God. Amen. Now, the fullness of the mystery of iniquity. Now, I want you to remember this. The fullness of the mystery of iniquity had to run its course, because it refers to the concept of lawlessness and sin in particular. Now, the seven angels each carry a vial of the wrath of God, the long suffering of our God, who waited until the mystery of iniquity was filled to the brim. And when I say brim, I mean the top of the cup. Before his wrath was manifested. That's it. I have taken all that I can take, is what God is saying. And now you begin to see the wrath, because everybody's doing all kinds of things. And some of you are doing it and then come back and repent and go right back and do it all over again. Now, I can understand if you have an addiction, if you're in trouble, if you're caught, if a stronghold is taking place in your life and you're trying to rid yourself of it. Well, don't stop praying and get you another prayer partner to work with you and stay in the Word, because that is the only thing that can cure you. Now, verse 1 of Revelations chapter 15 says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled the wrath of God." Amen. Now, when he used the word "filled up," he meant that this would complete the great wrath of God poured out upon the earth. Now, verse 2 says, "And I saw it, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over the image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." So there will be some people that, and these are Christians, that will defeat the image of the beast, okay? They'll have victory over that situation or in that situation and over his mark and over the number of his name. So this passage explains the destiny of the martyrs also. And what are martyrs? These are the resurrected dead. During the great tribulation period, saints who refuse to take the mark of the beast, refuse to worship the image of the beast, some of them were assassinated for Christ's sake. And all other Christians that were left on the earth had been caught up in the air to meet with the Lord and were taken into heaven. Now get this. Now the only flesh that is left on the earth are the sinners whose resurrection does not take place until the great white throne judgment, which does not come to pass until 1,000 years reign is over. Revelations chapter 20, that's where you'll find it. Now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, talk about this moment. "Who loved not their lives unto death, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, they," the saints, "were about to be avenged by the judgment of God." Now you need to go and read that, 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17. I just kind of summarize it, okay? Let's go on to verse number 3. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works." This is the song now. "Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Verse 4, and its song continues, "Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. Now, what does that say? It says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." So you see, right at the end of that song, we also see that Satan has not given up. He is wild and loose. And this is what this is talking about. the mystery of lawlessness, and then how it's at work right now. Only he who restrains will do so until he is removed. So what this saying is, there is a force that's out there that will be working on your behalf and on your insides. Now, remember, if you're getting weak, carrying these burdens on our back that we carry day to day, you must remember that we were not meant to carry these burdens alone. Amen. Now, the biblical context here is 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. The Apostle Paul mentions a mystery of iniquity that is already at work, suggesting a hidden force promoting sin and rebellion against God. Stuff like, oh, you don't have to be like that. You need to be free. You don't have to have all those rules and regulations. Just go on out and do what you want to do. Okay? But it also speaks of a restraining force, the Holy Spirit, or the church as a community that will hold back the full manifestation of lawlessness until the appointed time. So we know that the Holy Spirit is always at work because Christ invited him into all of our lives. And now we need to invite him into our lives so that he's with us all the day. This is what it says. The interpretation of lawlessness. The term signifies a rebellion against divine order and divine law, often linked to the Antichrist figure in Christian eschatology. Now, what do I mean by eschatology? It deals with death, judgment, and our final destiny. Now, spiritual warfare. Some interpretations view spiritual warfare as a struggle between good and evil. Now, how do you view it? That's a question you need to answer yourself, and you need to choose a side and not go back and forth like some people are doing. Especially the people said, well, I'm not going to do Christ. I'm not going to do the devil. I'm just going to do me. Well, we know that that person is going back and forth, back and forth. Whatever fits what they're into right now, that's the way they go. So they're not serving God. They're not serving the devil, but they are serving both of them, right? Well, what I tell you is that God will spew you out of his mouth. He don't want part-time Christians. He don't want people that don't know what they don't know, you know, what they're doing or the difference between good and evil and the benefits. You see, spiritual warfare as the struggle between good and evil because iniquity and Satan used to operate in secrecy. Do you understand that? You know, a lot of people wait till at night to do whatever evil they were going to do. That's what I mean by in secrecy. But now he operates out in the open. And why? Because as the Antichrist comes into power, they will begin to do their evil devices or the iniquity that they do out in the open at any time, any place, and anywhere. That's because the Antichrist is coming into power. Repeat. And what is Satan's ultimate purpose for you, believer, Christians, and people of the earth? His ultimate purpose is to influence the outcome of human behavior. What you do and how you do it. That's what he's after right there. Now, Revelation 15 and 5 says, And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Now, I know you know that requires an explanation. So I'm not going to do you like that and just leave you out there. We're going to go off and dive into it. You ready? Let's go. Come on, Bible scholars. Let's go. The tabernacle of the covenant law often refers to simply as the tabernacle, a sacred structure described in the Hebrew Bible, specifically in the books of Exodus and Leviticus. It serves as a portable dwelling place for the divine presence of God among the Israelites during their journey through the wilderness after they were released from slavery in Egypt. Now, the key features of purpose. The tabernacle functions as a place of worship and a center for the covenant between God and Israel, housing the Ark of the Covenant. The structure consists of a tent-like structure with an outer courtyard, an inner sanctuary called the Holy Place, and an innermost chamber called the Most Holy Place. Now, the Ark of the Covenant contains the tablets of the Ten Commandments, which is most sacred object within the tabernacle, symbolizing God's covenant with his people. Amen. Now, the purpose of the covenant is stated clearly in Exodus 19, 5, and 6, to make the Israelites God's peculiar treasure, his special people, distinguished by the way they conduct themselves because they are following the Ten Commandments or the law. And people know the difference between someone following the law and someone following themselves or whatever they feel like doing. Now, the benefit and promises of the covenant are also clearly set out in Leviticus 26, 1 through 13, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience, which are found in Leviticus 26, 14 through 39, and Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 18 talks about the curses for disobedience. Now, those who partake in the tree of knowledge of good and evil will be a debtor to the whole law and is obliged to keep the whole law absolutely. Now, what I'm trying to explain to you is there are Christians who also eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this is what this is talking about. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that they live by their own knowledge. You know, what they've been taught from a kid all the way up, things that they do in the world. But they also are great prayer warriors. They know God. They put money in church. They in church, you know, when the doors open up, and they worship. They truly worship. But they depend on themselves rather than God. You know what they say? If you want something done, you got to do it yourself. So those are Christians who also partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what did it say? They are obliged to follow the entire law all the time. But now those believers who have ceased from their own works and believe and follow Christ Jesus have entered into God's eternal rest. Because true believers in Christ pray without ceasing. Because praying without ceasing causes you to follow God. You rested in his peace. And that means that you go to him for everything. You don't just, I'm going to do this. I saw grandmama do this. I saw so-and-so over there do this, and they came out okay, so I'm going to try it their way. Instead, a true believer will get on his knees or walk around the room or sit down at his desk and say, Lord, what do you want me to do about this in the name of Jesus? And listen through the voice of the Holy Spirit with God interceding on our behalf and hear the knowledge of the Father. That's what we hear. Divine law, showing you how to use the Bible through the Spirit. Yeah, the law is not gone. The law is still here. But we need to know how to use the law. Now, there are things that we don't do anymore through the law. And that's how they worship. We worship different. Okay? We worship through the Spirit. And we hear through the Spirit. Because none of that was going to change until Jesus came. He died for our sins, and he brought a new way for us to worship. And that's what we do. This is what else it says. If you go to Hebrews chapter 4 and 11, you'll read more about resting in God's peace. Now, the temple of the tabernacle is the temple of God, which was built out of lively stones. Now, this is New Testament talking right here. This is not Old Testament, and the law is telling you that the new tabernacle or the new temple is built out of lively stones on earth for a habitation. Now, what do you mean? Habitation of God through his Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, and it reads, in whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through his Spirit. It emphasizes, Ephesians 21, 22, emphasizes the unity and growth of the church as a spiritual structure built upon Christ. Now, the key themes of Christ as a foundation. These verses describe Jesus as the cornerstone of the church, highlighting his central role in our faith. Now, the spiritual building, believers are depicted as being built together into a holy temple. The head, the arms, the legs, all of us, you know, we are some part of that body. And this is signifying their collective identity and purpose in God's plan. All right, for all of our redemption. Now, the indwelling of the Spirit. This passage indicates that the church is a dwelling place for God through the Spirit, emphasizing the divine presence among all the believers. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials of the wrath of God. Can you imagine that? Who liveth forever and ever to pour out upon the earth. Now the temple was filled with smoke from God's glory and his power. The wrath of God became alive. Do you understand that? Let me say it again. The wrath of God became alive. So when these vials are being poured out, that's the wrath of God becoming alive. And no man could enter the temple until the seven plagues were fulfilled. Now, our conclusion to this message today is that Revelation 15 sets the stage for the final climactic judgment of God. It reveals the ultimate fate of the martyrs and the fulfillment of God's wrath against a sinful world that's running amok. That's a word. Amen. The seven vials are a symbol of God's justice, his holiness, and the completion of his redemptive plan for his children. The chapter reminds believers of the importance of standing firm in your faith, not wavering, not being a Christian on Sunday and go back to doing everything you do on Monday or after you leave church. Worshiping God and trusting in his ultimate victory over evil, because some of you don't believe it because you can't see it like a ham sandwich. So you don't believe that God is real. Some of you don't. Some of you following this and you're doing it because grandmother used to do it and Daddy Bill used to do it and Uncle Johnny used to do it, okay? And all your friends went to church somewhere. And now you keep doing that because that's what you were taught, not because you truly believe. But you are included in that collective and you need to come on board and put your whole heart into it. Repent for your sins and all the past and walk in faith and God's victory. Okay? Through the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, God's glory is declared and his reign as king is forever and ever. This is my lesson. Now, I've dropped a lot of things on you in a very short period of time. I want you all to go over this lesson. I put a lot of scriptures out there. You need to go and read them for yourself and become educated in this so that you will see in the spirit. This is how you see in the spirit. You read, you get an understanding, and then when it happens, you're able to see it. Others will be walking around like it's nothing. They'll cross the street and keep going. But you'll begin to see things and wake up on the inside and say, oh, that's what that means. I see it. Okay? Because this is spirit. And spirit does manifest. And believers will be able to see in the spirit, especially when it manifests. Well, I want to thank you all for your time. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this lesson. I want to thank you for your children. I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And thank you for the gifts that you've given all of us, Lord, your will and your spirit. We thank you for all things in heaven and in the earth. We pray for their families that are here today, and we pray for those that had it not, those that are seeking, those that don't know where to go and what to do. We pray that your will and your word will find them and let them know and help them to see, and somebody will bring them in. We thank you, Lord, for all things in heaven and in the earth. And in Jesus' mighty name, we pray today. Amen and amen. This joy that